Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Hello.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
And also hello to everybody watching at home if you're following us on the What Culture Gaming Podcast channel. Hello to everybody and everybody else who's on the audio side as well. I kind of just wanted to talk about first-person shooters because Rage 2 is out this week.
Yeah.
And, the genre is just one of the best things in gaming. So we sort of just, I've put together a whole bunch of notes about the state of first-person shooters this generation. And I just want to open it up by just talking about it. What do you guys think of the state of first-person shooters right now? As a nice open question, mainly because playing Rage 2, the general sort of kineticism and the physics-based nature of it, the fact that you're jumping off a million things and sliding everywhere and chaining attacks together and everything, there's a fluidity to that that I think is also in Titanfall 2 that was in Doom, but wasn't there last gen.
That's it. I think that's the big difference for me. Compared to last gen especially, there is such a great diversity, not only to the mechanics but the styles and the aesthetics, that I think it's like a real sort of golden age for the genre in a way. There is so much going on now, and a lot of them are going down like a live service shooter route, which I'm sure we'll get to, but there is way more variation when compared to, say, 2007 to 2009 to 2010.
I think. Do you want your military shooter?
Exactly, yeah.
Everything was grey and brown and a bit boring, really. And I think if you're going to springboard off Rage 2, obviously I've been playing it as well, it is so much fun. It plays really, really well. The story's nothing that amazing. It's like
I'm so tall on it, but the combat, the gunplay
is like
great.
I'm having a good fun time with it, and for me that's not so much all I'd need, but because the story isn't bogging me down, then I'm fine with Rage 2. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, I agree. Like back in the 7th gen, everything was brown and grey. They all tried to do the same thing because Call of Duty came along and then COD 4 came out. It's like, this is the new benchmark of FPSs, and everyone was like, yeah, let's do that. The only like non-brown, it was still very brown, but the only other shooter that came out in the 7th gen that really tried to mix things up was Bulletstorm, which is a game that I've said before that I do quite love that game, because that was something that mixed everything up. But I think going into 8th gen, as we've said, everything diversified, everything changed, and I kind of think that began with Wolfenstein The New Order.
Ooh.
Because that was as much as it, like visually, it's still like, oh, it's here, it's very gritty. It's still kind of like very polished, I want to say. But they're like, this is when they went, okay, we're going to do it again, but we're going to go back to the old style of like mechanically how FPSs work. And I think from that point, because obviously that was a game that transitioned into the 8th gen as well. From there, everyone just went, oh, okay, we can have fun with FPSs again.
I do agree with that hypothesis.
Go
because
on.
I remember like before that came out, and a lot of us, I think, at least I did, I thought that single player first person shooter stories were sort of dead.
Right.
And then Wolfenstein comes out, and not only does it have these old school mechanics where you're picking up armor and health and you're like dual wielding these guns, but you've also got this really great single player story propping it up, and it's more open, it's less linear. And I really do think that sort of ushered in a sort of a resurgence of an older style that managed to feel fresh.
Yeah, I'll wrap this back around in a little bit, like to like the kind of like the renaissance or the resurgence of arena shooters. Like I think Doom pretty much encapsulated that in 2016. But I want to stick with like that idea of campaigns and Call of Duty and Battlefield, because even Call of Duty's had a bit of like an identity crisis this generation in terms of, you know, they went down the Black Ops 3 route and then it was back to World War 1 or 2, and then it was back to Black Ops 4 being over the top again. And even with the campaign stuff, they've gone back and forward on just how essential that is.
It's a shame, really, because like thinking back to World War 2, like the campaign was nothing special. The story was, you know, the biggest complaint I heard, not last year, year before, about it was, oh, it's very America. Look at how great we are. It's like, have you ever played any other Call of Duty ever? Mm-hmm. But like thinking back to it, I had a great time with the World War II campaign. Mm-hmm. It was fun to play it through. And then after I got Black Ops 4 and I've been playing zombies on it and stuff, and it's like, and then you realise, wait, I didn't get to play more. I didn't get to play a campaign this time around.
Yeah. Like, how much do you miss it?
At first, honestly, I thought, you know what, I'm not going to miss it at all because I'm going to play it once and I'm going to play zombies the rest of the time. That's what I do. But then it's like, when I played zombies and then Treyarch managed to put the foot in it with the first DLC and everyone fell off zombies again, I was kind of went, oh, yeah, I didn't. That's all I've had so far with the game. So at first I was like, eh, it doesn't really matter because, I mean, Black Ops 3's campaign was bad, so I don't really mind. But then, yeah, in retrospect, maybe I do kind of miss the campaign. So I'm hoping with, I'm assuming Modern Warfare 4, we'll find out in like 2-3 weeks, I think.
There'd be a massive missed opportunity to not do
it. If they're going to drop three campaigns in, Modern Warfare 2 and 3 remastered, as well as a 4 campaign, because they're not going to not do a campaign now.
You'd assume so.
They're just going to pick up loads of campaigns again, and that makes me kind of happy.
What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I'm the same. I've always been in the minority because I really love the Call of Duty campaigns.
Totally with you, man.
But I still love Black Ops 4, and I put a lot of time into it, probably the same amount of time I put into World War 2 across Blackout and the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think back fondly on Black Ops 4. Right. Like when I think about it, I don't have that same feeling I do when I go back to World War 2, even though I don't think World War 2 is mechanically sound, or even like the story was that great, but it had such like a sort of, it impacted me in a way that Black Ops 4 just didn't. I think it's because it had that.
I completely agree with you on that front. I don't know what it is that we have this weird, like, I think it might be the echoes of World at War from 2009, like coming back, not 2009, 2008, sorry, coming back. That we have this weird sense of nostalgia for World War II, even though it was only like a year and a half.
A little bit. Yeah. I think in regards to like memorability, though, I think it's weird because a game like Black Ops or like Fortnite or Apex or whatever, they're multiplayer only, and there's only so much memorability that can come from that. You have all these like sporadic, dynamic interactions and multiplayer matches, and they don't stick like a narrative would, or story beats would, or characters would. But yeah, I guess another thing to go alongside that I had written down was like, do we think that the whole boots on the ground thing is maybe outdated or antiquated or whatever? Because even though they went back to that with Call of Duty World War 1, 2 even.
Yeah, it's 2, isn't it? Going back to 1,
it's
but it is 2.
One, and like, the other one was World War 1. But yeah, do we think that the whole idea of boots on the ground is maybe outdated in this new realm of knee slides and jumps and acrobatics and wall jumps and everything?
I quite enjoy the sliding mechanics they put into Black Ops 3 and also carried over into 4. I do miss the dolphin diving days of Black Ops 1 and 2, but the slide, I use it so much. Same. More than I ever thought.
Well, it's like in Rage 2, like even in the tutorial, like, you know, because you have that whole thing with like the homogenized control scheme. It's like, I'm going to aim on the left trigger, I'm going to jump with X,
you know what?
I'm going to melee with the right stick.
Just a quick segue on controls. On PC, the keyboard controls for Rage 2 are all over the show.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, it's
play on console, mate.
No!
New!
Not for FPSs.
But like, even with that, like even at the very beginning of Rage 2, I was like, I'm going to charge forward into the enemy, like, you know, the enemy lines, and I'm just going to, like, I'm going to assume that I can hit circle and slide, and I can.
And you can,
and it's kind of that assumed level of, like, you know, it's being added to every game.
There is a project unlockable thing where you can slide into enemies and like crash
you
through them and
off,
stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, so there is that as well. But they kind of keep it on the DL in Rage.
Because that was like, yeah, in terms of like that idea of like the homogenized control scheme, like just being a fundamental thing in first person shooters, like Call of Duty had that with Advanced Warfare, where it's like now you have the dodge mechanic where you can sort of jet to different sides. Like, but yeah, do you think Boots on the Ground has had its day?
Again, I think it's all about balance. We were all so buzzed when it was going back to Boots on the Ground with World War II, but there was a reason.
I like the sci-fi stuff.
Well,
I'm the
complete opposite.
Here's the thing, though. Because we had, before then, it was all sci-fi. It was all jumping around, and we got sick of it. And before then, it was all boots on the ground, and then we got sick of it. So it's all about, like, you know, moderation and stuff. I think Black Ops 4 succeeds so well because it did move again into a more, it's not jumping around, double jumping all over the place, but there's more mobility to be had. And I think, you know, there's no reason why you can't have something focused and on the ground as something like Wolfenstein or COD World War 2, but then also have the mad mobility of Titanfall 2.
Or Doom or something.
I think not to take over your little string of like your plan for this podcast, but I think that's a perfect time to bring in the arena shooter influence.
That's my next point anyway.
Well, there we go.
Done.
Because, well done, Josh, you've segued it perfectly.
Yeah.
I think with things like Doom, when that came out, because obviously Doom 2016 is one of the best FPSs of all time.
Pretty much the best of the gen, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Next time Fall 2, which I still need to play. The kineticism they got in that game, the whole like really big floaty jumps, you do have the double jump, you've got the ability to like jump up a wall and climb up it if it's the right kind of height. Mm-hmm. I think that's the kind of point that we're trying to get, or the sort of more, not realistic, but more on the ground shooters are going for. Like you said with Black Ops 4, there are so many points in that game where you look at something and think, I can't make that jump, but I can.
Yeah,
think that's actually an echo of the fact that there was all the advanced move in Black Ops 4 originally, and then Treyarch found out that nobody wanted it, so they took it all out, but all of the remnants of it were still there. So they kind of hit this hybrid where you can move around a lot, like a lot. You are literally a super soldier, but it kind of makes it more fun. And obviously that originated in the arena shooter, because if you go back and play Quake, or if you've played the new Quake, you move around like nobody does. You can jump like three stories and just in a bog standard jump.
One thing that it makes me think that I think a lot of devs chase is just Halo, because I think Halo was such a massive deal across the 2000s. Obviously the Halo franchise has kind of, I don't know, like kind of waned recently with 4 and 5, or more so 5. But like we saw that with like, you know, that the more acrobatic stuff in Advanced Warfare, and that whole, like, even then Halo started borrowing from Call of Duty with aim down sights and like hovering in midair. But that idea of like acrobatic combat, of just being, you know, complete symbiosis with like you in a control scheme, like I want to jump this way while I'm firing in midair, while I'm throwing a grenade, and I'm going to land, and then I'm going to melee, and I'm going to jump in this car or whatever. That idea of twinning all that stuff together into one big fluid motion is something that I think, for me, Halo always nailed back in the day. And I think a lot of devs have been trying to chase that just because Halo was so huge.
I think in a lot of way that works better for multiplayer, especially that sort of like floaty combat where you can sort of like move around and like avoid fire. One of the biggest complaints people still have with Call of Duty is that the first person to see another person is the person who will win the gunfight. There's not much you can do to react, and I don't think it's quite as reductive as that, but there is certainly a limitation put on what you can and cannot do in combat encounters, and I think that's completely fine depending on like the game and what style you're going for. Something like Metro Exodus, for instance, doesn't need like a great mobile like protagonist that you can do so much with the gunplay. You need to be sort of strapped in, needs to be sluggish, and that benefits the story and the themes. But when it comes to sort of multiplayer in particular, I think you do get more options when you do have that extra mobility, even if it's just a, like a jump or a faster sprint or more, I don't know, diversity in the way you can even like fire the gun.
What do you think about how much does it ever annoy you guys? Like, because it's always something that doesn't necessarily annoy me, but it will put me off over time. That idea of the TTK, the time to kill, like that. Because Call of Duty has that, and they dialed it. It was so short in Black Ops 3, where it was like you see someone, you're dead.
I hated like, Black Ops 3 multiplayer not only because of the wall running and the jetpacking stuff, but the TTK was awful, just like, dreadful.
For me, like, I mean, like, again, something like Halo or Titanfall, they give you just enough time where you can kind of have this like this little dance of death with an opponent, and it is like there's a tactical, like, you know, you're having back and forth, you're trying to dodge, you're trying to crouch under stuff or slide under stuff, more than just I can hold the left trigger then the right trigger faster than you. What do you guys think of that?
Well, that's something that Black Ops 4 fixed, because the TTK in Black Ops 4 is a significant amount better than it was in the past. But yeah, TTK has got a big impact on it. Like, I need to go back and play Halo properly. Like, I'm really excited for them releasing the Master Chief Collection on PC, so I can play it on the platform I'd rather it on. So that we're getting Reach at some point.
Right.
I've signed up for all the betas and stuff. We're still waiting. But like playing through that when I first played the Halo 3 on the 360, and it was the whole case of bringing somebody's shield down and meleeing them. That was something I was so completely not used to, but it did make the gunfights more interesting. Watching back at a footage of Halo, I've had to do editing a list that Josh has done that includes Guardian from Halo 3, and getting footage of that and seeing like how the gameplay differs so much, how the firefights are much more interesting. Because when you say about the sort of the dance, the ballet of guns, the only time that ever happened in Call of Duty back in the days because two people couldn't aim for Toffee.
they'd just be
shotgunning each other and they're missing all the time.
Exactly.
You know, that's all you get. But now with those new games that change the time to kill, that ballet is more fun and more like interesting to play.
And to bring it back to the arena thing as well, something like Doom, like, you know, if you're pretty good at Doom and you're like, because I think when you do a melee kill, it'll kick out some health packs and you can kind of keep going, and where your chainsaw guys to get more ammo, they manage to roll those things together to keep you alive, so that you're never, that gameplay loop's never being interrupted. And for me, that's why I think Doom's one of the best and why I love Titanfall. But I guess it's one of those questions or just things to talk about where it's like, how much do we like the military approach where it's like you've been ambushed, you've been hit, or the sci-fi unrealistic approach where you can actually turn around and return fire, and there's more gameplay there for me. But
I agree. I think for the longest time Call of Duty was sort of antiquated in that sort of space. I think when a lot of of other shooters were moving beyond that and giving you more options to how you controlled your health and how you controlled like damage and stuff. Call of Duty was very stuck in the multiplayer arena of 2008 and 2009, whereas now I think they have moved beyond that and they are better for it, that you have not only more health but more control over how you use it. But then I think other games can go the exact opposite way and use a limited time to kill really well. Like Rainbow Six Siege is one of my favorite shooters of
Siege is such a good shout.
Entire generation. Like one single bullet in that game could kill you dead.
Yeah.
It might not even be like intended for you. It might just fly through a wall and then you're dead. But there is that game is built around that.
Yes.
And I think in a way that Call of Duty never kind of was. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of there as a staple.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something that COD in that little gray area between like Black Ops 2 or the end of Modern Warfare 3 and now, like they try to kind of get the best of both worlds. They're trying to mix the more realistic styles of things like Siege or something like Insurgency or even Battlefield, like their bullet drop mechanics and all that sort of thing. It's like Call of Duty is like hit scan and Battlefield's different because it has like bullet drop and bullet travel time, etc., etc. COD tried to hit that balance between the two, and it's something you can't really do. You're trying to make it so grounded and realistic and as authentic as it can possibly be, but you also want to be jumping about and 360 no-scoping people. It reminds me of that scene in The Simpsons when Bart and Lisa and a bunch of kids are watching it test screenings of Itchy and Scratchy.
Yes.
And it's like, you want them to have like tackle real-life problems, but also do all the weird stuff too. And they're like, yeah, we want that. Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, especially with Black Ops 4, because it was like, obviously the influx of the hero shooter, Overwatch's influence, for me, like there was a lot of that in Black Ops 4, even though I think Black Ops 4 was still very much its own identity, but you could tell, that's something that Siege does too, where it's like you're playing as this specific character with this specific set of powers.
Yeah. That's one of the things that really throws me when I started playing Siege, is like there were already so many operators, I'm like, I have no idea what any of this stuff does.
Yeah, but that's, like that idea of like sort of like, if you're going to do the serious approach, like really 100% do that, because like Siege, like you said, every bullet really counts, and like you can shoot through the walls, like it's all
Siege
about
is
angles.
Incredible.
Yeah, like Siege like really doubles down on that stuff, whereas for Call of Duty is like the counterpoint kind of thing. For Black Ops 4, they're like, well, we're going to do a bit of Overwatch, we're going to do a bit of Battle Royale, and we're kind of going to have a bit of our old school stuff, our old school feel, but it's kind of an amalgamation of stuff. But yeah, I just think like, I don't know, going forward, like, is it right now, is it the time for the arena shooter and more like, you know, slower to air time to kills and stuff like that? Are we just seeing this certain surgence towards the end of the generation?
Well, it's interesting because the arena shooter kind of did get revived somewhat this gen. Anyway, we had Bethesda and id release Quake Champions, which was 2017.
Why won't it come to consoles?
Because it's an arena shooter.
And it's
Quake. Basically, honestly, yeah, you won't handle it.
Because there's an Unreal Tournament as well, but
Unreal
neither are on consoles.
Unreal Tournament's been, I don't remember the last game was, it was quite a while ago, but I was thinking...
There's the new Epic one. Whatever they're putting together, there was like a Kickstarter-y type thing.
Why would they need why would they need Kickstarter?
True.
They've got money to burn.
There was some new Unreal Tournament.
Right. But yeah, like the arena shooters sort of tried to come back a bit because we had Quake Champions, which I think I don't know what the player base is like at the moment. I think a lot of people playing Quake Champions are very much like old school Quake people, and they're like, this does not feel like actual Quake.
Right.
Like they've not taken a very like, oh, we can microtransaction it, even though they kind of have. Like they just sort of taken them. They've tried to weirdly modernize, not so much Call of Duty-fy, but they've just sort of modernized the Quake formula, and it's not really worked. People are still kind of annoyed about how that really specific things, this, that, and the other, don't work as they should have done. Mm-hmm. And then, as another example, another Overwatch clone was Lawbreakers.
Yeah.
Good old Cliffy B.
And Battleborn.
I mean, I think Lawbreakers was was trying to be more of an arena shooter because of the ridiculous kineticism it had. Which
the
was
speed
like,
of Lawbreakers.
Yeah,
is
flying
crazy.
All over the place, and the speed of it, that is so arena shooter, it's unreal, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And Quake, like I said, hasn't really caught on. Like, weirdly, for some reason, I think we might get like an official Unreal game soon. Here's a free-to-play arena shooter that's not Fortnite, but still by Epic. Like, it could be here, but I think the arena shooter's tried to come back. But I think the arena shooter's time has had its influence, and the influence is still being seen. But as a pure medium, it's still very much stuck in the late 90s and early noughties, and people are quite happy with it staying there.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I guess, like, the reception to something like Black Ops, like, because that idea of losing the campaign, it loses that, like, because the campaign is, for the most part, anathema to a campaign. Arena shooter is, for the most part, anathema to a campaign. Yeah. You don't have these set-piece moments. It's more just, here's your gun, here's your character, here's your abilities, here's your combat scenario, and you don't need to worry about the narrative underpinnings of it or the storytelling side of it. What do you guys think of, like, because I wanted to talk about online multiplayer. I think first-person shooters online are some of the most purest gameplay experiences you can have, some of the most purely competitive experiences that you can have. And this generation, obviously, more than ever, like, everyone is connected more than the last gen ever was. But what do you think of that? Like, does the high skill barrier for any new first-person shooter ever put you off? Or are you just like... Because you're aware with something like Siege that the fan base is incredibly tough. So it's like, you're going to have to really dedicate time to even hang with it.
It is difficult. I mean, it's not even the high skill level necessarily, but we were talking about Battlefield 5 before we came in here, and I really enjoyed that at launch. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, do you mean Battlefield 1?
No.
I haven't played that since before Christmas, I think, maybe January or something. Wow. And I was thinking about getting back into it, but at some point the meta just kind of like goes beyond what you're used to, and it's a lot of effort to kind of get back in. Yeah. I know you can just get good or whatever, but it's like, it is a time investment, and you kind of want to feel at least like you're building towards something worthwhile, and if everything's kind of changed or you're not good enough, it's hard to justify that when there's a brand new multiplayer shooter coming out every other month as well.
Yeah, I think it's always like, it's obviously going to be always on the devs to do matchmaking like properly and sort of put everyone in the right buckets kind of thing. But even if you jump in, Call of Duty has the reputation for like, you spawn, you get shot from behind, you spawn, you get shot. But yeah, I guess it's just that thing of like, have you guys ever not wanted to play something because you know that there's going to be this massive high skill ceiling? Or is it more just, I'll leap in and I'll just figure it out, knowing that you are equipped enough with like either a homogenized control scheme or previous first-person shooters?
Not with first-person shooters, because I think, like you said there is a homogenized like control scheme. There is certain expectations and certain familiar sort of mechanics that you just expect to be there, that if you play any other first-person shooter, even if it's different, you can kind of pick it up through muscle memory and learn better. Whereas I don't play fighting games, so the reason I don't buy fighting games is because I might get Mortal Kombat 11 in a year and a half's time when it's finally down in price. But I'm not going to touch that multiplayer because I am nowhere near equipped
enough. Because I'll flatten you and pull your spine out.
Yeah, because you will flatten me and crush my face off. So like, I think other genres, the barrier to entry definitely pulls me off.
Does it?
Oh, God. Does Freudian slip definitely puts me off, but not with first-person shooters, because I think they're inherently
the opposite of that.
More accessible, especially now.
Yeah, the thing that you want is games that would pull you off in the best way possible, as opposed to the games that do the opposite thing.
I'm never going to live this down.
But yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk about that idea of just, most first-person shooters existing more online. And then that's what they've pushed into with Black Ops. Although something like Doom's multiplayer was kind of just tacked on because it was that old school.
Yeah, people didn't really care much about it. I mean, it's one of those things that I think it was there for the sake of being there. Like, it was interesting that Bethesda didn't force Machine Games to put multiplayer into Wolfenstein 1 or 2.
Or Rage.
Or Rage, they didn't ask to. I mean, it's weird actually. When just before Rage came out, I had to double check that it wasn't multiplayer. Because I just the formula, I just thought this screams multiplayer, but it's not.
It's also got a cosmetic microtransaction store for a single player game where you can't see your character.
Which is a bit rubbish, but in the same way I compared it to Fallout 76 in terms of how they do microtransactions, it's like it's sort of off the way. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not like Anthem where you have to actually in a story beat go and speak to the guy. It's like, hey, we have microtransactions. Do you want some? If you don't, then you'll look like an idiot in front of everyone else. Like, it's like they didn't do that. And yeah, I get the cosmetic DLC doesn't bother me. It's a conversation for another time. Mm-hmm. But like, the fact that it was more off the way, it didn't really matter, then that was fine.
Yeah.
It didn't really bother me.
I want to segue for the last bit about the genre innovation in general. Like, because initially we talked about Call of Duty's influence. You had perk systems, and then post 2007, 7, every single first-person shooter was a military-style thing with R3 melee attacks and perk systems. And then we had Doom's Arena Renaissance from 2016. The idea of like Rage 2 having a full vehicle sections, like that whole half of that game is driving and vehicle combat, which does shake it up quite a bit. And I threw Super Hot down in here as one of the only games that innovates on a core level where your base movement controls the flow of time, so you like it fundamentally plays in a different way to everything else.
There's another one I can just think of called, I think it's called Screen Cheat.
Okay.
Where you play in, it sort of echoes the N64 era of games, basically echoes GoldenEye, a four-player split screen, except the whole game is based around screen watching and everyone else is invisible.
Oh, I've seen
that. And you have to shoot people based on where you can see that they're looking.
That's really so cool.
I've not played it because I look at it and think, Christ, I'd be bad at that. But like things like that, normally it's the indie circuit that do that, but like normally with the big AAA stuff, as you say, that you get the arena shooter influence, you get the Wolfenstein approach of like, hey, we can do something really silly but also take it really seriously and bring things back to how they were. You've got Rage 2 saying, here's a big open world in a first-person shooter environment, but it's not a loot shooter. It really threw me when I opened up the weapon wheel and it's like, here's all the weapons you can get, but that's it. There's like 8-9 different weapons. And I thought, I just had in my head, I'll be finding like a weapon every 3 seconds like I'm playing Borderlands.
Mm-hmm. I think that's more like an aesthetic thing. It makes you think of like, because you've got this open world game and you assume that there'll be like endless loot and endless variations of
And I think that's one of the things that's keeping me drawn into it, that I'm not just finding loads of guns and thinking, oh God, I've got to replace this again and I can't invest my time into one weapon. I want to keep leveling it up. It's like, I have to keep, oh, here's one that's better. I may as well take that one.
That like seems to speak in for that game, like to like a more like balanced approach to, you know, like, they want to return to that sort of like, you know, the dance with death thing with your opponents, and are you equipped with the right thing, and are you going to use it the right way, and like alternate fire modes for those weapons in particular. But also, Josh, you mentioned Firewall Zero, the VR Rainbow Six thing.
Well, that's cool, and I love the way that innovates and like makes your entire body part of it. So far, like in first person shooters, you're essentially just sort of a gun in a pair of hands,
a floating gun.
Whereas in Firewall, you have this headset on, and like you can move your entire like body in a way by just moving your head. So it makes like things you took for granted in the past really exciting and innovative, like blind firing around a wall in a game has kind of never really felt right. You can shoot someone over the top and it's fine, but it doesn't have the intensity that it should of like being pinned down. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Firewall, when you're sort of peeking around a corner or you're using your controller to put your hands around and shoot like this and hoping to God you hit someone because you can't see and you're just hoping for the best, and then
that's cool.
Looking around, like it's a new element that it does build on something we already have, but it completely changes it and makes it far more dynamic and far more compelling, in my opinion.
That's the thing. It's like, like going forward, like where do you see the genre going? Because for me, like I love, like again, my main example that would hold up is Super Hot, because you can literally, if you just stand still, time crawls to like, it goes so slow that you can just duck under bullets really slowly and then return fire, and then you know you might walk a little bit faster so that your bullet catches up to the opponent and then stops so you can duck under and evade stuff again. But I guess, what do you think the genre will do going forward? Because VR is a massive thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, what else can they do?
I think it'll be an extension of what we've seen so far, because I mean, this genre has been around for like so long, and you kind of assume that they've maybe done all they can, but the way it's been fit into other genres, this generation especially, has been really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, 10 years ago, you knew what the genre barriers were more defined. You knew what an arena shooter was. Yep. You knew that if you're going to buy a big blockbuster military shooter, it was going to have a campaign and then a great multiplayer tacked on, and it would play very similar. Mm-hmm. But now we're getting these weird hybrids. You're getting like RPG sort of first-person shooters. You're getting stuff like Prey. You got Cyberpunk coming
next year,
exactly.
Whenever.
You've got stuff like Prey, Fallout 4, Fallout, even Fallout 76. They might not all be very good, but we're seeing first-person shooters being played with and injected into other genres and mixed and matched. Like you said, Rich, you assume Rage 2 was going to be a sort of loot shooter because it has that same vibe, but then it's not. And so you can see them sort of picking elements from other genres and other styles of games and then trying to create something new rather than just innovating on like a mechanical level, if that makes sense. Like Super Hot, like is great for doing that, but I think in the AAA space, maybe people are just more sort of concerned with plugging it into other sort of styles.
Maybe. What do you think the future will
I think
look like?
Call of Duty is going to stick with what it's doing. They'll bring back campaigns, and they're going to use Black Ops 4 as the launch pad of Blackout, and they're just going to keep that going as its own thing on the side. So I feel like at E3 they're going to go, hey, it's coming out to the Switch and it's going free to play, that we're all kind of assuming, and that Treyarch will front development on it, and then the other companies will just drop in their bits and bobs, and we'll have a Modern Warfare Blackout map as an example from here on out. I think COD will keep doing their same thing, but I think like Bethesda, it is basically just Bethesda doing the other massive FPSs at the moment. Bar obviously Apex, I say another battle royale game. It's a very good battle royale.
It's doing very well,
but like it's just. But like Bethesda are going to keep doing their thing. They've got Wolfenstein and Doom and Rage and even Prey. They've got their own kind of.
I was going to mention Prey.
Prey is one of the. I mean, I've only put a bit of time into Prey. I know that it's Josh's favorite game.
It is.
But like it plays more like solidly and less floaty compared to what we've had from Bethesda in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, published by Bethesda, of course, not developed by. But like, I think they're gonna, I think each individual series franchise is gonna do their own thing with the FPS formula.
Mm.
I think most of the really interesting innovations like Superhot will remain in the indie space.
Most likely.
Unless it's turned into some sort of gimmick like press R2 and R3 and L3 together to activate Superhot mode and whatever next FPS
game.
And
then Call of Duty will adopt it.
And then Call of Duty will adopt it 6 years later. Like, mm-hmm. how the whole, oh, here's the Overwatch influence for a game that released in 2013.
Yeah, I mean, even Rage 2 has the the Destiny style L1R1 for your special, your overdrive mm-hmm. mode, which like for
I
me
barely
feels
use
like,
it.
Yeah, we don't
I
need
barely,
to in that
just get the shotgun out and just go to town on people. It's
yeah,
great.
It is one of the best shotguns
as
well.
It's a good shotgun.
We should do top 10 shotguns.
Oh, we should.
It's a pretty good shotgun.
Number one's Resident Evil 4, right?
Yeah, probably is.
We need to discuss this.
Okay,
we need to discuss this. But one last thing, I guess, just for the sake of like, because you said about like the idea of, or we both said about, we all said even about the idea that games can adopt first-person shooter mechanics into their overall sort of feel. Like, do we just think that first-person shooter is to gaming what RPG now is to gaming, where it's very hard to drill down a specific genre because everything is an RPG?
I mean, even technically, Red Dead Redemption 2 is a first-person shooter.
Well, exactly.
You play the entirety of that game in that mode, so it's
maybe that's what I should do when I go back
anymore.
To it, is play
maybe
all
that. Maybe
one of the reasons why I played Fallout 4 so much and loved it so much is because I could play it like an FPS RPG because the first-person shooting it is a hell of a lot more solid than it was
well,
before.
Help
Hence
out,
why
it?
I can barely play like 3 in New Vegas because the shooting is awful.
You're just aiming a camera at someone.
Yeah,
at point,
and
yeah.
it's like I barely ever use VATS in Fallout.
I rarely use it.
I'm like, oh, I've got like a full crit meter and I've got my boss ass sniper. And it's like, do I waste a crit with a chance to just miss a headshot?
Head.
And it's like, I can just line it up myself and guarantee it.
Yeah, there is that.
But yeah. But like, I think that for me would get me into a game. That's why like I'm so excited for Cyberpunk. I've got The Witcher 3 and I need to play it. But it's like, I'm still yet to sort of branch into CD Projekt's work.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyberpunk being a big FPS RPG, and because obviously you know how meticulous they are with their game design, mm-hmm. that shooting, as far as a guess, should be absolutely impeccable.
Yeah, you'd assume
and
so.
And that would keep me on board with it so well. Hence why I'm really enjoying Rage 2, because the shooting is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the other elements of that will contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But then, so do we think of Cyberpunk as a first-person shooter or an RPG? Or both?
Well, it's both. It
yeah,
is literally,
yeah.
it is, I think, a sole FPS RPG, that's, I think, probably one of the first proper like,
where, like the real core of it, like,
yeah,
it's just as much.
I think
as
Rage 2 is like a stepping stone towards that, because mm-hmm. it is a bit more watered down. I still need to get my head around the rest of the random crap you can pick up in the world and what all that does, which is a bit weird. But like, that's the first kind of step into that direction, because it's
yeah.
still first-person shooting and driving. It's kind of like a precursor to
that's
to
kind of
Cyberpunk
the thing. Like the more hybridized games that you have on a bigger level, for me, that opens it up to have these more siphoned off arena experiences that are dedicated first-person shooters. Like the same way that something like Pillars of Eternity or what the hell do you call it, Divinity: Original Sin, went down that this is a pure tabletop pen and paper
yeah.
RPG, separated from you know The Division, which has RPG. Elements and you're still stack grinding and equipping loadouts and all that kind of stuff. That idea of like, you know, FPSs are just part of the fabric of anything in first person now.
I think that's the beauty of gaming in this generation and sort of bleeding from last gen into this gen, and hopefully it will continue into ninth gen. It's just diversity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing about it. Like diversity in games in many respects, but especially in terms of a genre, in terms of mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're talking about Game of the Year last year and this year, the Game Awards and BAFTAs and all sorts. Everything's so diverse as to what there is now to be played.
Mm-hmm.
The gaming industry have gone, okay, we had all these walls down because it was like, this is this is that, this is the
yeah.
other, which
yeah.
is very much the whole 90s like approach,
mm-hmm.
like the whole John Carmack saying that first-person shooter stories aren't a thing that don't need to be there. All the walls have been lifted and everything's sort of
he's
bleeding.
He's done well.
Everything's sort of bleeding all over, working for Oculus, bleeding all over each other, and
mm-hmm.
they're just all these very different things are coming out of it. And the fact that first-person's because still has actually has diversified. It's not just stayed as this grey military, like, here's shoot this, that's
yeah.
it kind of thing. That makes me very happy.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me, and we keep going back to it, is Call of Duty, like you said, Rich. I think that is emblematic of how far we've come. Like, back in the day, Activision still have 3 developers working on these games, but back in the day, each one would be essentially making the same game. Each one would be the futuristic or boots on the ground. And now, they've finally given each developer the chance to do their own thing, either with the timelines, the aesthetics, the gameplay mechanics, the gameplay modes,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that even Activision are diversifying their portfolio when it comes to Call of Duty, I think is indicative of what the entire industry
and
is
doing.
And
that's a good thing, because obviously there are still people who are very, very critical of Call of Duty, but when you do take a step back and look at it, they are doing their own things now, which is really good. Activision are trying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they published Sekiro this year,
yeah.
and they've got Crash Team racing coming out.
Hell yeah, they
Scott's
do.
Game of the Year 2019. they are really trying. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think even like I said, even within those little like here's this like standard shooter that you already know back to front because it's the same as what it was before. Even mm-hmm. that's starting to diversify. Mm-hmm. So FPSs are becoming
they're in a very
exciting
place. Yeah, but yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments if you're watching the video side, and thanks very much for listening if you're listening on the audio side too. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Thank you very much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at @PickupChangeTub.
Oh yes, I always forget the Twitter. I'm at @LP89. Yay. And also joined by Josh Brown.
Hi, yeah, I'm at Twitter on Josh Brune with two O's.
Is he?
I always fumble that.
Two O's on the Brown, not on the Josh.
Two O's on the... Yes. Yes. Oh my God, I'm...
Josh Brown. That clicked with me when I was listening
Juice
to one
Brown
of his
Brown is stealing all your followers.
I always Juice sign Brown. Off like this, and I've never actually said where the O is. Juice Brown.
Well, now they'll
register,
find you,
register
so
Juice
fine.
Brown and get it to redirect to your account.
Oh, I'm not very good at this.
It's all right. For now, though, we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.